Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just praise you for the gift of your Son, that through the blood of Christ that we have redemption, that we have forgiveness, that we are washed and we are clean. And I just pray that as we open up your word this morning, that you might speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you might continue to change us through the power of your sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 11. It reads, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there's also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar." Over the last couple of chapters, the writer of Hebrews has been making the point that Christ is a high priest of a different order from the order of Melchizedek. We studied Abraham in Melchizedek in Genesis. Christ was prophesied as being from the order of Melchizedek in the 110th Psalm. And last week we saw that beautiful comparison between Abraham in Melchizedek and us in Christ. Melchizedek initiated the relationship, just as Christ initiates the relationship with us. Melchizedek brought bread and wine. They had communion. Christ provides our communion through his blood. Melchizedek gave Abraham a blessing, just as Christ gives us blessings as we commune with him. It's beautiful. And as we approach verse 11, the writer not only supports the superiority of Jesus Christ being our high priest, he also annuls the old covenant. The old covenant was a foreshadow, but it wasn't complete. If it was complete, you would have not needed a new covenant. The old covenant wasn't perfect, but the new covenant is perfect. That's why in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood," there wasn't perfection in the old covenant, but there is perfection in the new covenant. Hebrews 10 expounds on this lack of perfection. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 1, it reads, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." The old covenant was incomplete. It was lacking. And in fact, the old covenant was to drive us to Christ. It was to cause us to look towards Christ. The Bible says the law is the tutor that brings us to Christ. So the old covenant, the old priesthood, lacked perfection. It wasn't complete. But the new covenant is perfect. John Owen, the great Puritan theologian, expounds on this perfection and expounds on the fact that through Jesus Christ, our high priest, we have a complete relationship with God. He points it out in numerous different areas. The first one is that it is complete through righteousness. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son." The law wasn't perfect. It wasn't complete. But Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross, gave us perfect righteousness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." There you have it. The law couldn't give us righteousness. You can't be righteous by trying to live a good life. The only way that you can have satisfactory righteousness before God is through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ gave His life for us on the cross, our sin was imputed to Him, and His righteousness was imputed to us. So when God sees us, He doesn't see us in our filthiness, in our sin. He sees us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, that's something that we should be excited about. It is complete righteousness. And we have that through Jesus Christ. The law could never accomplish that because we could never fulfill the law completely. Because we've already sinned, haven't we? It's only through Jesus Christ that we have righteousness. The new priesthood is perfect as well, in the fact that it gives us perfect peace. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. It reads, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." It said that we have peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, before our salvation, the Bible says that we are at enmity with God. God is our enemy. We are sinners, and because God is holy and because He is righteous, He cannot be at peace with us. But through Jesus Christ and the blood on the cross, we have peace. The blood of bulls and goats weren't ever able to do that. And they had to be offered year after year after year. But my friends, Christ died once for all, didn't He? Once was enough. I like what Vernon McGee said, that He died and then He rose from the grave and then He sat down. He sat down in heaven. Well, why did He sit down? Because His work was done. You and I have peace. That's the joy of our salvation. We don't have to live a life of turmoil. We can rest in the power of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us on the cross. We can rest and have peace. Now, the man that does not know Jesus Christ does not have peace. As I've mentioned before, over the last 18 years, I've preached funerals to the people that are lost, and I've preached the funerals of those people who were saved. And there's a difference. There is a remarkable difference, because the lost do not have peace. But the believer does have peace. And it's a peace that has been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is our high priest, He paid the price with His own blood. He offered the sacrifice of Himself, and therefore you and I have peace. Well, through His priesthood, we also have light. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. That's where we'll start. 1 John 2, 7. It says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Hebrews 10:1 said that the old covenant was a shadow. Well, what do we mean by the fact that we have light through the priesthood of Jesus Christ? We have light because you and I have clarity. Now think about it. In the Old Testament, they had the prophecy, correct? They had all the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, but yet they could not see it. And it wasn't perfect. All of the Old Covenant, when you look at the tabernacle, when you look at the temple, when you look at all of the instruments that were used in the fulfilling of the Old Covenant and their practices and their sacrifices, all of those point to Jesus Christ. But they couldn't see it. It was a shadow. It wasn't a perfect image. But you and I have clarity. You and I look at the life of Jesus Christ and we see the history and the story of God and what He wanted for mankind. And we see it. We see it. If you're a believer, the Bible says that the veil has been lifted from your eyes. And so you and I can read the Bible and it makes perfect sense. You and I can look at Old Testament prophecy. And for example, you could go to Isaiah 53 and the suffering servant. And you see that and you say, man, how in the world could someone not see Jesus in that? Well, why are we able to see that? Because God has given us clarity through the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That's why when we look at Revelation and we see Revelation and we can see the plan that God has, we can look at the Bible in its entirety, and you and I have clarity. We have the ability to understand it, to comprehend it. This is why I think it's such a great tragedy when believers are not students of the Word of God. Because the only way you and I have the ability to understand the Word of God is through the indwelling of the Spirit, and that's been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. So my friends, if you and I neglect our study, we are neglecting something that came at a great, great cost. And that cost and that price was paid for by Jesus Christ. And we have the ability to pick up the Bible and understand what the will of God is in our life. And we do not need to neglect it. We need to pick up His Word on a regular basis. We need to read it. We need to ponder it, to meditate on it. And we need to apply it for our life. It will give us great joy reading the Word of God. Not only does the priesthood of Christ give us clarity, but it also gives us access to God. We're going to look at numerous verses in this regard. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, starting in verse 18. Ephesians 2:18 says, For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I have access to God. Now, contrast this to the Old Covenant. And we can look at numerous examples. In the Old Testament, Mount Sinai. Remember? The children of Israel look and they say, I don't want to be so close. And then later on, they were prohibited from coming up. And then when you look at the tabernacle, God said, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell among my people. But yet, people couldn't go in there. There was a limit. And then became the temple. And at the temple, when we think about the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. There was limitations. But through the priesthood of Jesus Christ, you and I have access to the throne room of heaven. Not only do we have access, but we have the ability to go in with boldness. Now, how do we enter into the throne room of heaven? So we already talked about how we have clarity through His Word. You and I can enter into the throne room of heaven right now at this very moment through our prayer life. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the priesthood of Christ, you and I can access God. Anytime. And just as we see people neglect being students of the Word of God, there are believers who neglect this wonderful right and privilege that we have to appear before God through prayer. We should be praying all the time. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And unfortunately, some believers don't pray at all, or the only time they pray is when they come to church, or occasionally when things go bad in their life. But you and I should be praying all the time. We should be praying all the time. We should be a people of prayer because it was bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. We should be a people of prayer. Not only do we have access, whereas the children of Israel did not, we also know our future state. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:10. And this is referring to the purposes of God. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but has now been revealed, referring to God's purpose, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's think about that just for a moment. Look where it says, He has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light, that's the key word, through the gospel. What does He mean by that? Well, think about under the Old Covenant. While you see glimpses of God's purpose in how Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, and that our hope is in Him, because just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, that you and I will be resurrected from the dead. Just as you saw just a little glimpse of that occasionally in a prophetic sense in the Old Testament, but in the New Covenant, we have knowledge of our future state. That is something that we have great peace in our Christian walk, is that we know God's plan. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Because we look at Jesus Christ in His work on the cross and the power of His resurrection in the past, you and I know that we have that hope for us in the future. It's been revealed to us. That gives a lot of peace when you are dealing with somebody that is facing their passing, is that we know. We know where they're going to be. They know where they're going to be. They know that God has an eternal plan. It's been revealed. We have clarity in that regard. I love John 17:24. It says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." That's the desire of Jesus Christ, isn't it? The desire of Jesus Christ and the will of Jesus Christ, it will happen that at the end of time, all saints from all ages will be gathered around His throne. That's what Christ wants. That's what our hope is in. And it's only through the priesthood of Jesus Christ that we have those things. The next thing that we have through the priesthood of Jesus Christ is we have joy. 1 Peter 1:8, well, in fact, we'll start in verse 6, says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." My friends, you and I should be joyful. We should be believers that have joy. The world should recognize that we have joy. We have an eternal purpose through God, and that should come out in the way that we live our life. Have you ever been interacting with somebody, and after a while you go, "You know, I know that person's a believer." Why do you know that? You know that because they have joy in their life. And that joy comes out because they've been following the Lord. You only have that through the priesthood of Jesus. We have that joy because we have that clarity, because we have that access, because we have that knowledge. It all is centered around Jesus Christ. Which leads us to our last perfection, glorifying in the Lord. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 11, Paul wrote the church and he said, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." Why do we boast in the cross of Jesus Christ? Why is that a perfection of the new covenant and a perfection of the new priesthood that we have through Jesus Christ? Because it's His purpose, isn't it? It's His purpose that we should glory in the cross. It's His purpose that we should hold the rest of the things of this world with a very light touch or grasp. But we should have glory in the cross, because we recognize that the cross in Jesus Christ is the center point of our life and our being. My friends, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be defined by our Christianity in all aspects of our life. It should affect the way that we live. It should determine our priorities. It should determine how we spend our money. It should determine our entertainment. It should determine how we behave at work. It should determine how we interact with people. Christ should be at the center because He is our perfect high priest. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you're a believer here this morning, let me just ask you a question. Is Christ at the center of your life this morning? Does He define your life? Does He define your time? Does He define your purpose? If you've gotten off track, if somewhere along the way you have started grabbing hold of the things of this earth, right where you are, recommit your life to Jesus Christ. He is our perfect high priest and He wants the best for you. But it means that you have to deny yourself. And if you're not denying yourself and you're living for self right where you are, just commit your life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never asked Christ in your heart. You've never asked for forgiveness. You've never recognized Him as Savior and Lord. If you are not a believer this morning, right where you are, invite Christ in your heart. You're going to have to repent from your sins. You're going to have to give up your life and you're going to have to turn to God. But my friends, you'll begin life anew. He'll forgive you of every single thing that you've ever done and you'll be new in Christ Jesus. If you've never done that, ask Christ in your heart today. Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You that You have given us a perfect priest and we have a perfect covenant and it is complete. And I just pray that we might cling to it. I pray that our hope might be into it. And I pray, Lord, that we might proclaim it. I pray that as we approach Easter Sunday, that we might invite people to come and hear Your gospel message and the life that they can have through Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's someone here who needs to make a decision in their life today, Lord, that they'd do that today, that they'd commit to You. We give You the honor and the glory and all things. In Jesus' name, amen.